Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are talking about matric results, and we were also chatting about the pressure, some of the pressure that the kids and the families are under. There's no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt that this does have an impact. What about the kids who haven't achieved as well as they would have liked to, or maybe they're a little uncomfortable in terms of what their friends have achieved? The pressure on the children is, and on the families, is no doubt significant. Well, Dr. Sats Cooper is a clinical psychologist, president of the Pan-African Psychology Union. He joins us this morning. A very good morning to you. Thank you for doing so. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. As wonderful as the results are, and it is a great reason to celebrate, to acknowledge, it's a great milestone, but it also must come with enormous pressure on not only the kids, but on their families.
Yes, of course. Matric has always occupied a high point in our country's education history, because in many ways it signals a rite of passage from childhood into adolescence and then into individuating into many are going to be at voting age. Mm-hmm. So effectively, you can even stand for parliament, and heaven knows we may need a lot of those with better qualifications to stand for parliament, local government next year, and other places. Because once you hit the age of consent, majority actually, in this country, 18, there's no let to what you can do. You can even become a director of companies and so on. You know, unlike our laws before, because you couldn't do things until you were 21. And even for a director, you couldn't become a director until you were 23. So all those kinds of things have changed in a modern constitutional democracy. But with the upside comes the downside.
And that is what? The pressure?
Yes, that's the pressure. Because, you know, people live in neighborhoods, and everybody is celebrating around you, and you have not done that well. There is, just under 50% of those who passed have the enablement to go to universities, do a bachelor's degree. But a significant percentage of those won't make that, because each university has a requirement themselves for entering particular courses. So if you want to go into some of the sought-after ones, medicine, architecture, engineering, you require a higher benchmark than you would otherwise. So the requirements, particularly in maths and physics, is not that great. The pass rates and performances are not that great. And many degree courses require those. But the good news is that all our departments, all our provincial and independent board departments or entities offer catch-up. They offer you the opportunity to retake those exams and do better. I would actually advise that families, and especially those who are in that position, think very carefully of how many they want to repeat, and whether they want to repeat it when it's offered as a special exam within the next few weeks, or they want to take time off and study and really ace out those exams, which they can do if they're doing two or three.
Right. There's also a tremendous amount of pressure on kids that have actually done well but haven't done as well. So whether they might have got 5 distinctions, but were going for 7 distinctions. Is there a way to manage that? Because you don't want to say, well, listen, pull yourself together. You did really well. For them, it is a bit of a disappointment. How do families handle that?
I know it is, but, you know, the families also need to think about themselves, you know. Let's be honest, Howard. When we're in matric, how well did we do?
I said the cleverest guy in our class got 5 distinctions. Nobody else got. Maybe somebody got 1 for this and 1 for that. But it was a very different world.
It's a very different world. I mean, now we live in the era of AI. We live in the era of instant information. So youngsters can prepare. They can prepare to do better. Mm-hmm. But also, if they decide to take it over a year, I would also think that they should look at alternatives. Apply, get a job if you can. Take a learnership. Apply for learnerships. There are enough learnerships out there. Mm. And I do believe that they go unused. You know, all the CETAs have learnerships. Various government programs have learnerships. And they should take advantage of that while they improving their matric results. In a sense, matric is a route marker for the rest of your life. And therefore, you want to think very carefully about that. Then there's also the other colleges, the TVET colleges, and there's a proliferation of them around. You know, there was always the view in Europe, in Central Europe, especially with Jewish people, get a trade besides your academics, get something else besides your academics, because you never know where you're going to end up, you know, with all the pogroms and so on that were happening. Yes. Get a trade. So you always had somebody who loved music and was doing excellently at it. There was somebody who decided, I'm going to be a carpenter.
And that's exactly right, because we don't need a perfectly homogenized society. Not everybody needs to get their A for science. Some people actually are going to excel at something completely different, and I think that's worth celebrating. Know what your talents are and move in that direction.
Yes, but even those who do excellently, ace it and get many, many A's and you know, it's the highest rating is a 7, where you get over 80, and it goes down. I believe if you're doing decently, if you've passed decently, and you want to improve yourself, don't look down upon yourself, because your parents and others around you, over time, didn't get those kinds of passes. It was unusual to get those kinds of passes, and now that you have it, thank your lucky stars you have, and
absolutely,
and choose a route that, you know, somebody may want to do engineering but they can't make it now. Go and do ancillary courses and take minors in those areas, and then show your results in a year or two, and you can swap over. You can move over from one area to another. So there are multiple ways to. There are many routes to get to the same destination. There isn't just that highway, a one-way highway, and you need to think about that very carefully. But also, there has been a longitudinal study a long time ago, done particularly in the US, where they followed the very high IQs, you know, those over 130 and so on. And not surprisingly, a very small percentage of them achieved at an intellectual or at a professional level. Most of those ended up doing other things, you know. You can, an IQ and a high academic achievement can also put undue psychological stress on you, so that you then have other issues that you have to compete with Howard, you know, his family and others in his family. Mm-hmm. Look at them; they're all professionals, or they're all exes and Ys. You know, don't forget Tony Factor didn't do well in school. I think he was a dyslexic, you know, but he created an empire. Mm. I mean, he beat all the odds because he did what he was able to do best and hired those who could read, write, and count very well. So he didn't need those kinds of things. There are many, many, many people. I mean, the youngster who created Braille at about 14 years of age, I mean, did that because he was, you know, he didn't have sight, he was losing it, and created Braille. So there's multiple things one can do. If you have a passion for gaming, the opportunities in gaming are massive. Learn coding, do all sorts of things like that. For that, you don't need to go to a formal school. Mm, so,
And things and are the definitely world of changed. Work. Yeah, things have definitely changed. I do need to leave it there, but really some fascinating insights. And I have no doubt that this was definitely food for thought. That's Dr. Seth Kupe, a clinical psychologist, president of the Pan-African Psychological Union.